And a lot of the big horses are putting in some work down at the PGA Championship. And Justin Thomas, he was 3-under today, and that puts him at 6-under for the tournament. He is currently in the lead. Will Zalatoris is out there playing right now. He's on the course right now. He's 1-under on the day. He's at 5-under for the tournament. Then you got McIlroy, who's at 4-under. Abraham Answers, 4-under. Cam Smith is up there. Shoffley's up there. Joaquin Neiman's up there. Sam Burns is up there. Some really good players.
Yeah.
And to chat about it all, we're joined now by a longtime member of the PGA and one of our favorites. You can hear him on Sirius XM. He's down there for Sky Sports. I saw him on the Golf Channel all week. He's everywhere. Here's Brad Faxon. What's happening, Brad?
What's up, you guys? Everything's going good down here. I'm doing a little stuff for Sky. Got a little break, watching a little golf like you are. It's pretty fun.
It's a beautiful thing, and that course is it looks nasty, man. Is it playing tough, and what are you expecting for the weekend?
You know, it's playing tough, but it's playing fair. I haven't heard one gripe from one player in the field at all. It's a very different look. This course is hosted. This is its fifth PGA championship here. The most of any of the other venues that have ever hosted a PGA. Tiger Woods, who was on the practice green when I was on the practice green with Rory McIlroy, said it was nothing like what he saw in 2007 when he won here, and he's playing well himself as he just hit his second shot into the seventh hole and just missed the green to the right.
Well, in terms of Tiger, you know, I came into today thinking he'd probably miss the cut, but the cut line as of now is +4, and he's 1-under for the day through six, so he's into the weekend if he can hold on to this the rest of the way. How do you project? You just mentioned he just hit into seven. He's still got a lot of runway ahead of him, but based on what you're seeing and hearing from Tiger and his company, do you believe he can keep it on the rails and make the cut?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I would say that the one advantage the players play and this afternoon have is that it's a little bit less windy than it was at the start of the day in the middle of the round. So these players got lucky because yesterday morning wasn't quite as severe. We have this power-packed threesome of Woods, McIlroy, and Jordan Spieth that are on the seventh hole right now. Rory dropped a shot, so he's trying to find a little bit of his form from yesterday. But the cut was projected to almost go to 5-over, but it's backed off now, and I think if you're at 5-over, you can slam your trunk and go home.
Yeah, no doubt, Brad. Well, one of the names at the top that a lot of people were backing before this thing started is Will Zalatoris, Brad. And I know his, you know, Achilles heel has often been his putter, but I saw a stat yesterday that he was something like +3.5 more strokes gained on the field on the greens. I don't know if he's been speaking to you or what's happened, but what have you seen from his putting stroke, or what did you see yesterday that leads you to believe that he may have figured something out with the flat stick?
Well, Zalatoris said in the press room that he figured out he was missing a lot of putts to the right, particularly with his left to right breaking putts, which traditionally for a right-handed player bug people the most, players the most. And Zalatoris said he just needed to get more weight on his left side. And then that would help him. And yesterday's, you know, that he was number one on the field in putting, and strokes gained putting is a measurement of not just how many feet of putts you made. He made over 150 feet of putts yesterday, but that you don't miss the short ones. And most of the time, his weakness on the greens is around the shorter ones. His stroke from, you know, outside 5-6 feet looks pretty traditional, really.
We're chatting with Brad Faxon, who's down there at the PGA Championship. You have worked closely with Rory McIlroy. You know him well. I have to believe when he got off the course yesterday and was in the lead at 5-under on a Thursday, he must have been thinking it's go time, like pedal to the metal. We know his history at majors. He plays great Friday through Sunday. Thursday has tripped him up. Obviously, he's not off to the greatest start today, but he's still got a lot of runway himself. If he can find a way to hold the lead after 36, what happens for him to close this thing? How good would that feeling be for McIlroy, and how would you feel about his opportunity to actually close and win this tournament?
Well, there's a couple things there. First of all, McIlroy hasn't had a good opening round, and in I think it's since 2016 in the first round of the majors, he's well over par in all those cumulative tournaments. Yesterday's 5-under par round, it's almost like he's won the tournament in a way.
Right.
Now they can't say that anymore. Now that goes away, gets that monkey off his back. In the past seven major championships that have been here, the winner has been either tied or the co-leader or the leader after 36 holes. So if you're a front runner here, if you're Justin Thomas and you get the lead, that player has always won. Sometimes there's more pressure to that. But I think that, you know, we mentioned this earlier, this golf course was restored by Gil Hanse. It doesn't look anything like what it used to be. As a matter of fact, McIlroy said on Monday when he came here for the first time, it reminded him a little bit of Riviera. And what he meant by that was the trees were spaced out. They weren't really close together. High-limbed trees, so if you missed the fairways, you could punch it through them, through the trees and run it up towards the green. So it's a very different-looking golf course. The wind in Tulsa, as you know, is really something that is always here. And what's funny is tonight, the wind's going to switch and go 180 degrees in the other direction, and it's going to get cold. It's been 85 to 90 all week long, and now it's going to come out of the north. I think they're expecting temperatures to fall, not even get into the 70s tomorrow, and drop into the 40s on Saturday night. So it's going to make a big difference in the playability of the golf course.
So, Brad, one of the storylines is about a player who's not in the field. Of course, the defending champion, Phil Mickelson, continues his exile from the PGA Tour. You know, when you're around the tour as you are, Brad, what's the chatter about the end game here? Are we going to see Phil again anytime soon, or does anybody have any idea?
My guess is Phil doesn't even have any idea. You know, that it's sad. I mean, I wanted to see Phil defend his championship at 51 years old. He made history last year with his win at Kiowa. He's been one of the most talented players of our lifetimes, second only to Tiger Woods in the amount of wins and majors. It's incredible. But, you know, he stuck his foot in his mouth in a couple different times and places and offended more than just one group of people and even his peers. And it's sad. You know, his family life's in jeopardy. His sponsors all dropped him, and we don't know where he wants to go now and what he's going to say. Does he want to stay over here and play in the United States? Does he want to go play in that Saudi golf league, that rival golf league, or is there another golf league that's even around? I think he probably regrets what he said. I am of the strategy that it would have been better for him to come out and just kind of apologize sooner than later, because he's going to have to do it at some point. But I think that the Masters Committee said, you know, keep your problems away from our tournament. The PGA of America said, we'd welcome you with open arms, and he made the decision himself not to come here.
With Brad Faxon, longtime PGA pro, you can hear him on SiriusXM, Just the Facts on SiriusXM, and he's down in Southern Hills covering it with Sky Sports. Scotty Scheffler, everything he's decided to do over the last, you know, 3 or 4 months has been victorious. I mean, he's just winning tournaments, and he goes into the Masters, he wins his first major. And this weekend, it was, I'm sure, somewhat humbling, because he's 6 over, he's not going to make the cut. Obviously, this was inevitable, but what do you see the response being from Scheffler when you're playing that well and you're so dialed in, and then all of a sudden you finally stumble? How does he get back up off the mat? What do you expect to see out of him moving forward?
Well, Scottie Scheffler is one of the most grounded young men I've ever seen play this game. I don't think he's going to take this one Masters victory and then this one missed cut any different in stride. He seems to be in a great spot. He got a little frustrated here. We don't see him get angry, and I like that. I like when I see fire in a player. It means they care. You know, this is a tricky course. You know, you have to have all elements of your game. If you don't, history has shown here, if you don't drive it in the fairways here, you're not going to hit a lot of greens. If you miss the green here, it's really hard to get it up and down. If you don't know how to play shots in the wind, it limits you to what you can do. And when you look at these players at the top of the leaderboard, you mentioned Justin Thomas, and what's really impressive about his 6-under score is that he did it in the tougher wave. You know, the late early times, the scoring is about a stroke or two difference, and Thomas played flawlessly today. And if Thomas drives it in the fairway, his iron play is so good that he's got a chance for birdie on almost every hole. His putting is slowly getting better. He changed the style of the hosel on the putter, believe it or not, a little bit. And even something as simple as that, a different look can make you make some more putts and give you more confidence.
Let me jump in here quick, Dave. I want to ask about Thomas. I saw today, I believe on one, he hit a drive 408 yards. Like, I don't know if I'm being duped online by that because I find it almost impossible to believe. But yesterday, Fax, everyone was talking about McIlroy and him hitting the ball 378 yards, basically on average. Like, this course has been expanded, and obviously we know that this is where the modern game is at. But if guys like Thomas and McIlroy, who are not big people, are hitting the ball 380-plus off the tee, if you're a golf architect, how could you possibly meet that challenge? What can you even do?
I know, and I'm sure they're shaking their heads at it. But the two holes, there was a 401-yard drive by Thomas on the first hole. Now, that hole is playing. It's about 30 yards. It plays 30 yards downhill, had 30-mile-an-hour wind. And, you know, when you talk about technology changes, and it's certainly in the equipment with golf balls, shafts, size of driver heads, you don't talk about two other things. You know, you don't size about the strength of the athlete or the speed of the athlete anymore. But that's technology driven by everything we know about biomechanics and how to do weight training, speed training, and also the agronomy and how when the mower heights get down, the fairways are compacted, which traditionally make it harder for players when they can not control how the ball bounces. So I don't know. You could certainly, you know, I think the USGA and the Royal Nation are trying to find ways to bring the ball speed back down. But that's pretty complicated, too. But it also seems like in every other sport, bigger, faster, stronger always wins.
Yeah, certainly, Brad, one of the guys who was at the forefront of bigger, faster, stronger was Tiger Woods. And he didn't have the kind of round he was hoping for in round one, but he's one under for the day through seven today at plus three, as Hayes mentioned. He's got a great chance to make the cut line, which I believe is at plus four right now if he can continue. What if you look at the golfer you saw at Augusta and the golfer you're seeing today in Tiger, what have you seen that's different, and what are the signs that maybe he's back on the right track?
Well, to me, the shots I've seen him hit today, he's gone to a fade, like a big fade. And I think when we've seen Tiger in his breast, his ball, he can do anything he wants with it. But I think that the hardest thing, it looks like, is getting off of his right side. He had this shot we called the stinger with his two iron where he had to, you know, drive that ball down and hit low shots that ran a long way. It looks like to me two things. He can't drive into his left side. And walking down the hill seems way more difficult. Like, just when I was on that practice green, I watched him get into the bunker. It looked like he was really nimble. Not nimble. You know, it was delicate for him to get down there. He was kind of grimacing when he was taking those few steps down into the sand.
Well, Fax, it's always great to have you on. We really appreciate it, especially considering you're down there right in the mix of everything. So enjoy the weekend and enjoy the PGA Championship. We'll do this again down the road. Thank you for this.
No, I always enjoy talking to you guys. I'll report back. Tiger just got it up and down on seven for his par. McIlroy actually three-putted that hole from far away, so he dropped another shot. So Rory's now three back to Justin Thomas.
Ooh, so we got to grind now. It's going to be a fun afternoon. Enjoy it down there,
okay,
buddy. Thank you for this.
Thank you, guys. All right.
There's a longtime PGA Tour pro, and you hear him on SiriusXM, Brad Faxon. And the Golf Report brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealers. Whatever the weather throws your way, you're covered in a new Subaru with uncommon capability and symmetrical full-time all-wheel drive. So that's the thing about McIlroy. Like, you know, his burden was getting off to a good start on Thursday. He overcame that yesterday. He was, you know, the leader of the tournament when everyone was teeing off today. But now he's two over on his round through seven. The wheels fall off. Then that first round, you know, if you just flip it, your Thursday issues now for Friday issues, he'll still be in contention, clearly. But I don't know. I mean, we'll see what comes of it. And Tiger, again, is currently at three over for the tournament. The cut line is four over. So if he can just hold on here and basically par out, he'll be playing into the weekend.
Yeah, let's hope, eh?
Let's hope. I mean, yeah, I just want to see the guy play. Like, I have reasonable expectations for what he's going to do. Even St. Andrews, the hype will be off the charts for St. Andrews when he gets out there because it's still, you know, it's a couple months away. It's a course that he loves. It's a course that he owns in terms of his play and his history. But I don't picture him winning. I can't see. He doesn't play enough. And, you know, he's not a young guy. And, you know, I think we're still at least a year away. Like, if he can consistently play, I think he's got to add more tournaments. I could see this time next year being in a situation where you say he's got his game pretty dialed in, and maybe he can get hot for 4 days.
Yeah,
you know, that's kind of what I think. That's the best you can ask for this most recent, you know, reincarnation of Tiger Woods.
Yeah, but it looks like he's made, like, you know, just from the Masters to today, which is, you know, a little more than a month, it looks like he's made a lot of progress, right?
Yep.
Like, he looks much fitter. He looks like he's you know, swinging it a lot better, in less pain. But he still, as Faxon points out, like, I was watching some of that practice tee or practice area footage where, yeah, it's kind of sad watching him walk in out of the bunker. He starts to look like an old man, and he starts to look like a guy who has no business being out there competing against the best players in the world in those moments of kind of frailty, right?
Yep.
So I don't know if that's ever going to change. We'll find out.
Yeah, I mean, it's another comeback, and how we define that comeback as successful or not, you know, I think is open for debate. You know, with Tiger, though, you would assume most people would set the bar at, you got to win a tournament again, then try to keep winning majors. But he's not in contention to win it this weekend, but he may be in contention to play into the weekend. So we'll keep tracking that between now and 7 o'clock.